Gemara, Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Just the Chaza briefly, we're not going to the whole time. Where it says Tana Rabbanan, that's where really, the sugya really starts. Tana Rabbanan, Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Tikna Mizonos Takas Masi Adeha. Ukfurasa Takas Subasa. And then the Gemara speaks about Kirkona Takas Peros. So there are three quid pro quos. This led to our initial discussion, which you may recall, we'll come back to it, of course, as we go, whether the Chiyuv Mizonos is Dorais or the Rabbonim. At first glance, it's a no-brainer. You learn Chumash and Rashi, Parashat Mishpatim. She'er, Ksusa, Vonosa, Lo Yigra. So Rashi says, She'er is Mizonos. Now, of course, Rashi has an excellent source, Rabbi Osai. The Gemara tells over here, that Mem Zayin Amid Beis, the second wide line, the Tanya She'er, Elim Mizonos. So Rashi quotes it before Shu Gemara. Of course, notwithstanding that opinion of the Gemara, there are others who disagree. Rabbi Lez says, She'er Zu Ona. Rabbi Lez Ben Yaakov says, She'er, it seems to be something with the Baksusa, etc. So whole Machlekes Gedolia Atanoim already, whether Mizonos is Daraisa. And you get an impression that Rov Rishonim arguing the Rambam. And Pasnak Mizonos is the Rabbana. And whether it's the Raisa, what we have, we spoke a little bit in the past about the various Nafkaminas, whether it's the Raisa, whether it's the Rabbana, not exactly 100%, many Nafkaminas. We're not going to go into all of them, but I've list of 10 of them, you know, Kedaka, Bakodesh. But we're not going to go into all those Nafkaminas, but just to give you a broad background as some of the things we spoke about a while ago. Okay, that's number one. But the Mizonos is the Raisa, Mizonos is the Rabbana. Now, one of the important questions is, does Shera Kususa Vonasa? So, we know what Kususa means. Kususa means clothes. So that should also be maybe the same Shaila. Is it the Raisa, is it the Rabbana? What should we say? No. That even if Shera Mizonos is the Rabbana, because Shera means something else, but Kususa, at least the garment should be the right. So we'll see soon that the Magen Mishnah says that way explicitly. The Ramban says no. Buying or a dress for Yontif, it's also the Rabbonim. I'm not discussing from the perspective of Simchas Yontif, because we're coming right to Sukkos. Right? But generally, buying a wife clothes, which as we spoke last time, could be very expensive. It's part of the Kapirah on the Kabachayim, if you recall. We'll come back to perhaps a little bit later. May also be the Rabbanan. The way you do with the Pesukim. The Rabban and Chumash, as we spoke about last time, says famously that She'era, Ksusa, Vanas is all has to do with Ona. She'era is Kiru Basar, and Ksusa is proper mattress, etc. And Ona is Ona. So he's very limiting the Rabban in his Pirush on Chumash. So according to the Rabban, he passes everything to the Rabbanan. Food is the Rabbanan, clothing is the Rabbanan, only the Tashmish is Doraisa, with all the things which surround it, right, etc. That's the Rabban and the Chumash on that post, in Parashat Mishpatim, interprets. Okay, just giving you the broadest possible background. Fine. And again, Tosis right away started with the sugya of Eini Nizonos Veini Osa, which is officially on the Maror Mekomis for today, and we couldn't put it on the original Maror Mekomis, but Tosis already did the very first Tosis in the sugya. Take the Mizonos Takas Masi to discuss the question. Rav Huda says that she can say thanks, but no thanks. Right? We spoke about the Tosafot about pidyon and the very significant issue that perhaps it's impossible for either party to say thanks but no thanks to the mutual responsibilities of pidyon and peiros. And one of the reasons may be that Tosafot talks about it. Over here, please. Tosafot talks about it that it's the payers of an entire lifetime corresponding to a one-time pidyon. Things get a little bit out of whack. This leads to the next question, which we spoke about a little bit. Can a woman say any zonas veni osa temporarily, just for today? Tomorrow I'll change my mind. That seems to also machlokas among the Gdolei Poskim. And a couple of reasons why she can't change her mind. One is what's called loksa midas hadin. So she'll play a game. When she's making money, she'll say to her husband, thanks, but no thanks, I'll support myself. When she gets no money, oh, hubby, you got to support me. That's not fair. locks of midas hadin. That's the expression we saw in the Rishon. But again, just chasming over in the broadest possible terms, some of the issues we spoke about before Yontif, and we're going to pick up where we left off, but I just want to give you sort of the broadest possible background before we continue right now. So again, so the official map, the sources in the last sheet went from Mem Zayin and Beis until Mem Chesed and Aleph. And we saw a couple of the runs. And then it was a general Shulchan Aruch, Evan Edison, and Samach Tes, Aleph through Evan to Beis Shmuel. Now, I'm looking, I thought Evan would come in with the Shulchan Aruch after Yom Tov. I thought that was part of the deal. I don't see Evan walking with the Shulchan Aruch. So I guess the deal wasn't kept. But okay, Slav tries to execute for tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day. Henceforth, we'll be using the Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer more than before because we're getting down to. When we're in the clouds, doing all these Shas and Yonim, now we're more into everything. Although the truth is, in our very first part of this Ma'am, we learned the Chilchos Ksuvos, we're also very much into the Shulchan Aruch. It's very important to know how all this comes down to real life. Okay, Rabbi says, so let's now pick up. I guess the best way for me to do this is to, although I have the Shulchan Aruch in front of me, since you don't have it in front of you, we'll put it on the screen. I guess that's why people are relying on the screens. First of all, the screens don't always work. Okay, I do one. Well, first, either the violin doesn't work, or the computer doesn't work, or whatever doesn't work. You can't rely on it. You have to have your own Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. This is on the Makoros, Simon Samach Tes, the whole thing. Let's read the whole thing together. This would be a good way. Oh, actually, not the whole thing. Only Aleph to He. Okay? That's a water board here. Oops. Shano Seisha, the whole thing is here, right in front of you on the screen. Shano Seisha, the Misha, Mestar, the Basara, Dvaram, Mezokla, Bedal, Dvaram. Ashidlo Niftadu. And then I saw it. What a beautiful way. This is coming from the Rambam verbatim. Mizono Seha, Ksusa. Onasa, Ika Ksubasa, Rifu Asa. We didn't discuss that at all. Have we discussed Rifu at all? I don't think so. Not a word. That's extraordinarily relevant. Doctor bills and hospital bills and insurance, it's very complicated. Lifdosa Nishmitis, we discussed, that's a Sugi over here. Kvurasa, that we also found over here in the Sugi, Rabbi Osai. For those who remember the Gemara, we spoke about last time, right? Kvurasa Taras Tsubasa, right? Okay. So far, Rabbi Osai, how many we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The truth is, we can really stop here. We should really, I think I told you this last time. We should stop here. Because we say 10, the next ones are not really relevant to the marriage itself. I mean, Kvurasa is the end of the marriage. If she dies, the marriage comes to an end. And the truth is, Ika Ksubas is also at the end of the marriage, terminating through death or divorce. Okay? But they animate the marriage. You know, an expectation. In the case of death or divorce, she's going to get the Ksuba, and she, in the case of her demise, she'll take care of a burial. I'll tell you a story, which highlights the story. I was once involved in a situation where a woman was unfortunately very, very ill. And it was coming to the end, and she knew it, and it was unfortunately one of those situations where these terrible illnesses can unfortunately take a life much, much, much too early. So the question was, you know, there was going to be a burial in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, it reached the point where they were actually talking about it, and the issue would be, would the husband travel to Eretz Yisrael? What would the husband say about the children? Not those, always such a simple decision to be made, right? They're, you know, it's not simple. Not simple, you know, a spouse is a spouse, but they're also children. Every case is different. Depends on so many different factors. But the conversation where the woman who was on her last days told the husband, you have to come. You have to come to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, when I say kfarasa happens, obviously after the marriage is over, but not to think for a minute that it's not, I mean, we all like to live forever, but if the person is unfortunately told by the doctor it's not much time, so she made a statement, and the statement was, of course, honored. The husband, of course, honored his wife's request. No shaila about it. But you see, this is an example of how it's the ksuba and the kvura argue as being part of the marriage. Afshi mizonos and ksus and ona are regular all the time. Refua and pidyon, we hope, don't happen. We hope that the woman should be healthy her whole life. She shouldn't have any medical expenses. And we shouldn't know she's not going to be kicked and captured. But even the two which come right afterwards, which is the ksuba and the kvura, they animate the marriage. That's what I'm saying. They animate it. They relate to the marriage. As opposed to the last three, which I'm going to get to, which are really, yes, it's included in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch 10, but it's later stage. We're not going to discuss. So now, even later, we'll see why we're going to go make short shrift, because it's not so much relevant. But let's read you the first three now. What are these three? The 8, 9, and 10. What are they? Leos Nizonis bin Chosa Vyosheves Bebeso Achamoso calls Man Almanusa. That a woman who's a widow may live in her husband's home and be provided for by his estate as long as she stays in a widowhood, as opposed to if she remarries. Now, this is generally speaking, in a normal situation, if there's a single marriage, not relevant. Because, for two reasons. One is that if the sons, who are officially the heirs of the estate, have any decency, and they take care of their mother very well, and make sure that she stays in the house which belonged to the father, and that she'll be well provided for. Number two, again, is not a topic for this minute, but in most situations, it seems to me, according to strict halacha, a house, which is generally speaking in America today, in the names of both husband and wife, as a general rule, if the husband passes away, it automatically belongs to the wife. And therefore, what do you mean, Yosheves Beiso? It became Beiso. It's hers. She doesn't need the children's having halachic requirements or their kindness. It's her by right. She owns it. She now happens to be the sole owner of it. Nebuch, it says in the Gemara that if someone, a relative, dies and the relative left a lot of money for the father, for the son, they make two brachas, right? Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv and Baruch Dayan Emes. Right? It's what's a din Shulchan Aruch. So it comes out, in today's world, I'm not talking about super millionaires, but for the individual, I think it's still true in America, the single most valuable asset a person has is the house. Houses are very expensive, and also you don't have so much money in the bank, or in stocks, or whatever it is. So it's come out of Eishim Bad Nezach. If, in the normal case, whenever a spouse predeceases, when the first spouse passed away first, and the bad news is told to the surviving spouse, she makes two brachas. Baruch HaDayan Emes, spouse passed away, and they all of a sudden, if the house is worth $2 million, you just gain $1 million. I'm not suggesting halacha l'maisa, but in theory, as it emerges. Yeah?
It's often the case in second marriages.
That's why I said. Second marriages, this is of extraordinary importance. Extraordinary importance. As a matter of fact, after my own family, I'll speak to, it's always the best way to speak. My father, my mother passed away, my father remarried. And after my father passed away, I told my brother, if his wife wants to live in the house, until Mashiach comes. Until Mashiach comes, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, unless she remarries. She was an older woman, she was about to remarry.
But that's exception. The normal prenup says 2 years
today. Yeah, I know what the prenup is. My father had a prenup too, but I don't know what, I didn't even look and see what it said. I mean, I maybe one saw it. We're not taking a lady who was married to my father for 11 years plus and saying, hey lady, we'll show you the door when they sell the house from under you. Ugh, that ain't happening, not on my watch. Right away, she can say, as long as she wants. The reality was, just to finish the story, that after a little, she said she's staying, because she was there 11 years in the community, she got friends, and she had social life right in there, but it was hard for her by herself. She had two daughters living in Bnei Brak, so she, after a fairly short period of time, she moved to Bnei Brak, and then we sold the house. But there was only on her own note, we didn't make any, not even a hint of a hint of a hint, to oh, maybe she moved to Bnei Brak. Chas v'sholem. She could have stayed there till Mashiach. She passed away since, but That was Eifus. Didn't it? Now, these owners were Nechasov, as far as that was concerned. So my father, when he got married, I saw a little of the prenup. He was a certain amount of a lump sum of cash that if he would pass away first, she'd be entitled to. But his assets, and he didn't have too much. The house was the overwhelming majority of my father's estate. Overwhelming majority. It was what percentage, 80, 90, I forgot exactly the details. Was this the house? But that if both sides wanted to be for their own respective children, and that was part of the prenup, and I think I mentioned you once before, that based on the Sugana Pegim Leman Aleph, which I'll come back to later in greater detail, my father, when he remarried, had a cue card from Nissen Karelitz, Shalita from Bnei Brak, where his wife's daughters were the ones who were the most relevant to the case were concerned, and he read off from the Gemara. What did he say? Dinadvarim Andy bin Chasayach of Paris, Parisayan of Paris, Parisayan at all. Based on the Gemara here, the Mishnah of the Gemara. That's what he said. Now, it's interesting that he wanted it by that, by doing so, that the Yerusha shouldn't go to him, because the Baal is Yerusha Zishta. He doesn't want the Yerusha, and he doesn't want the Gosh. He didn't want anything. And now that was what he did. And as it turned out, my father passed away before her, so that was an irrelevancy. But you don't know who's going to know. No one knows who's going to live longer. We don't know. So these things are all relevant to second marriages for sure. So sure enough, after she passed away from the estate, she got the whole lump sum of cash as it left in his will, and as they made it, and she was led to stay in the house. Now, the amount of money that my father left, I don't know if it was enough for her to live on, going forward long term, she had social security benefits, widow benefits. I think she got a social security, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how social security works exactly. If I'm not mistaken, she got a social security check, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know. She had the money to live on as long as she went to Bnei Brak. She was still getting social security checks, to the best of my knowledge, until she passed away. So I'm just giving you from my own, the little I know about that particular
case.
But
then you can't really have mutual waivers. What you're suggesting is that halakhically, possibly, there can't be an agreement where she waives her rights, and he can waive his rights. Can she wait for a right?
Yes, but in certain cases. Again, prenuptially. But when it hit prenuptially, it has to be after the heiress and before the nesuin. So it was a little bit unromantic to read from that cue card under the chuppah, but that's what he did. As a matter, that's one of the problems with the prenuptial. We're going to get to it. One of the days.
But how does she agree?
Presumably, whatever she wanted to give up, she would also stay at that time.
Prenuptially, she waives rights to the estate.
No, she has no rights to his estate. In Jewish law, he yashes her, she doesn't yashes him. No, she has certain other rights, which we're reading about right over now.
In most legal North American jurisdictions, she has a right. A spouse has a right to their
Not family. Only that, I'm told that in America, I'm not sure if it's state by state, It's impossible for a will to be effective if the spouse does not get at least 50% of the estate. You can turn your head upside down, spit wood and nickels, and nothing's going to help. They insist the spouse has at least 50%.
Unless she agrees in advance.
Then it can't work?
Yes.
No, it won't work that way.
Well, it depends on the obvious different jurisdictions.
In New York,
well,
he's talking about Canada.
I'm licensed in New York as well.
Oh, yeah?
But New York is it presents, what, 50% here in New York?
At the right of elections.
50%?
Is,
so
you know,
it's
not
50.
I don't know. Third, whatever it may be. And you can't, I thought you can't. I thought it's not waivable, I thought. That's what I thought. I don't know. Whatever it is. I'm sure there's always an excuse for it, a way to get out of anything. But this is officially. Okay, anyway, this is again number 8. So she's going to get his, she'll eat from his estate and live in his house as long as she's a widow. Number 9. Leos Benosov Nizonos Achamoso Achis Aris. So fascinating. It's considered something which is Mischayev law. What Mischayev law? What law? Nothing to do with her. Her daughters. The answer is a woman cares about her daughters. And therefore, number 9 is that he is obligated that he is going to support the daughters after he dies, I mean from his estate obviously, until they become married, because who else is going to support them if he's no longer alive? And this is considered an obligation that he has towards the wife, even though the money's going to the daughters. Maybe the wife is the trustee, doesn't even say that, but it's considered towards her. And number 10 and final, which is the least relevant in today's world, is also not so relevant in today's world, because it's again, in a single marriage where all the daughters belong to the husband and the wife, what? So the wife's not going to support her daughters? Unless it's a second marriage, it's going to be also not great consequence. And finally, this is the least relevant for us, because Bonaz Charim, her male children, Mimenu, from him, Yorshim Ksubasa, will inherit the Ksuba, Yoser Al Chelkam Birusha She'im Acheyem. What does that mean? There's another marriage, right? So he has children from another wife. So she says, it's called Ksuba's bin Adichon. She says, what's going to happen? She's going to marry this guy, and what's going to happen? So then, at the end of the day, the money from the Ksuba, how you define Ksuba, we'll see later on, is going to go to all of his sons equally. That's not fair. Because he has two sons, five sons from a previous marriage, and she'll only have one son and five daughters from this marriage. So it'll end up that all the money is going to go, 80% of the money plus, and it goes to some tafremda, to somebody else besides her, nothing to do with her, her five stepchildren. She doesn't want that, she wants to go to her children. She hasn't had the children yet, it's all before they even married. But this is all part of the, again, so the last three are more technical and post-marriage, but they count towards the 10 on the Rambam's list. What are the four in the other direction? Masi Adeha, which is Tachas Mizonos. Mitzi Asa, which we'll get to later, so the Ma'am will come from today. Upei Roseh, which is Tachas Perkona, and Yerushasa, which is Tachas, where is it? Tachas, well, Yerushasa, it depends what it means, Ksubasa, could be Tachas the Ksuba, we'll see. These are the four. Masi Adeha is not Tachas anything, but for the best that we can understand, but the other three are Tachas. So there's a three-time quid pro quo, and there are a total of 10 here. We broke down into seven, maybe into five, two, and three. Actually, we should three, two, four groups. Three, two, two, three. Three are the Baruch Hashem day all the time, Sherek Susa Manasa. Two are in case of difficulty, either illness or captivity. And by the way, first captivity is like, what? Out of a. Never happens. Thank God today it almost never happens. In antiquity, captivity was more common than it is today. It
happens all over the place, just not the United States. It happens in South America.
Oh, yeah, so there you go. Unfortunately, there's still living the kinds of worlds that happen. So, okay, we show some of this. Listen for the phone. We should know about this.
I think there's one qualification about it's premarital assets that you can waive. Marital property is different. So anything acquired after the marriage is marital property. It's only assets that they bring to the marriage.
I see. Okay. I don't get into those details. When we get to discuss prenups, which we will, we'll come to those discussions. I'm sure very, very important to always say. Yes?
Going back to your story in Losa.
Right.
That story is part
of the aloha, or that point? No, I mentioned it only to indicate that while the couple is still married, the issue of kurasa can come up. You know, first of all, where to buy a burial plot. I gave a dramatic story of someone who's never leaving this world. But even long before that, a burial plot. I read in Rav Yashin's biography that when his wife never passed away, she predeceased him by quite a number of years, he was very involved in making sure that they got a burial plot. And he was always such a big Talmud Chacham, he never dealt with anything of this worldly matters, never anything. And the biographer wrote, yeah, Rabbi Yoshua was Ish Halacha, Kvurasa Baal Chai B'Kvuras Ishtos. He was tumbling a hin and a hair and a hu and a hat to make sure, get involved, get the right burial plot. And by the way, just to understand where Rabbi Yoshua felt about this, Rabbi Yoshua had a burial plot for himself in Haraz Asim, near the Leshet, his very illustrious grandfather, the Leshem, you know the Leshem? Rav Shlomo Yashiv was the Leshem. He was considered the last Mekubal that we know about in history. In other words, anyone since him, we're not really sure. We can't vouch for his credentials. I don't know the Hakavala myself. But the Leshem, Rav Shlomo Yashiv, was such a Mekubal that everyone understood he was way out there. So much so that his Levaya, I believe it was his Levaya, that Rav Kook said, that Rav Leshem was such a big tzaddik, that there should be, it says in the Gemara, that when the major tzaddik leaves the world, there should be like an Amuda Denura, with a Keshet, with the whole thing. And sure enough, this manifestation that he said should be there was there. People saw it. He's Baron Harris Ace. Literally. You read the background, you'll see. Unbelievable.
When was this?
1926, I believe.
And it's all like a pillar of fire.
Yeah, pillar of fire.
That's insane.
Yeah, something in the sky. You read the biographies. That's what the Godly was. And that's where Rav Yashiv's father was buried. Probably his mother too, I don't know exactly. And he, and there was a spot for him. He was a Ben Yochid. Notwithstanding that fact, he felt, burial plot for his wife, where he's going to be buried too. So he's buried in Harmanuch, not in Harazes. In Harazes, for those who know Kabbalah, he must have felt, can't write Shulchan black letter law, part of the Chiyuv of Kavuras Ishto is the issue, one that you should be buried next to. That's where he was buried, not next to his wife, in Harmanuch. So it animates a marriage, you know? Now, no one should talk about burial plots when they're alive and well. There was once a Rav here in Washington Heights, a Talmud by the Yekesha. You know, they're very into these things. For those who know, they're very into this kind of the Kaddisha, with Taharis, with Kavuris. It's one of their things that they're very active in. But other parts of the community want to go away from this, they don't want to talk about it. They're very into it. Do you believe this? There was a minig in some of the shuls over here. When you met with a chassan kala before they were married, okay, what about a burial plot?
No.
I kid you.
Embroiders?
I didn't say that. It was broyers or a broyer type of shul. That's the rabbi we're talking about. Someone in Washington Heights. I'm not going into details. Literally, that's what I was told. Now, I meet with every chassan kala. I never would ever. But you know, I guess, you know, Lahavdil, the Catholics say that, you know, till death do us part, but the Yekkers know better than that. Even after death, you're not a part. They have to bury a plot with you before you go to the chuppah. So we don't believe in that. But on the other hand, people who buy burial plots when they're still alive is something which is appropriate. When I was young, they said that there was a remez. There was a remez in the States of School of Arichas Yamin. Vishnas Tayovel Hazos Toshu Rishal Achuz Asa. When a person turns 50, that's when a person should start should buy a burial plot, a school of Arichas Yom. If you want to, I saw recently a very recent argument about is it important to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? The Sugin Ksubis, as a matter of fact, everything's in Ksubis.
Yeah.
Not now. I don't want to get too sidetracked. And the Ksubis. There are two, I don't talk too much about Kfur, it's a side topic, but there are two pluses in terms of where you're looking for it to be buried. Either a family plot, that's called Kever Avos, or Eretz Yisrael. Both have pluses in terms of Kfur. And if the Kever Avos is in Eretz Yisrael, so it's a slam dunk, if you ask me. Yeah, if you ask me. So, I'm not ashamed to say it, that when I reached that age, that's what I did. Wife and I, we bought in Kever near there, no, in Eretz Yisrael, near there where, as it turned out, believe it or not, this is quite a remarkable thing. My parents bought a flat in Eretz Yisrael, and I knew about it. And I knew that they also had some kind of, they belonged to some of these chevre shafts here in America. So I saw my father get these, give my bill a check every year. So it was left to me, the unpleasant situation. My mother, Aleha Shalom, was on her last days, and the doctor already said this is, you know, it's coming to the end. So I had to ask this question. So I said, you know, I know there's something here, something else is wrong. So so my mother answered me, what is that a question? You know, she's saying that, you know, Eretz Yisrael. You know, that was always a lifelong Ohevis Eretz Yisrael, which is exactly what we did. And in that particular case, just to give an example, I myself went along for the Kura. I flew on the plane. My father stayed behind because, you know, he had his children there. He stayed behind. Nothing wrong. He didn't love her. He stayed behind. His health wasn't perfect. So he stayed, and I went myself. I knew, it's an amazing thing. This is what they call a Rabbinical Council of America has a plot. It's there, it's a Chaim in Beit Shemesh.
It's a great place. It's a beautiful place.
I want to let us have a beautiful place. It's a little bit more romantic than I'm willing to get involved in. But there's a lot of Americans. It's an American, largely an American outpost, if you will.
It's far nicer than
I'm an outpost. But I'm not discussing what's nice. I'm discussing reality. So it so happens that my wife's family, my wife has parents, and they all have a and her father has two brothers, Sheyichu, my father, my father's only passed away. They bought 7 kvarim in a row, and the 3 brothers and their spouses, and my mother had an elderly mother who lived till 101. And so there was Kevin for her too. So when I knew this a little bit, I didn't know exactly the details, but when I reached that age, as I told you, so I made an inquiry, and they send you, sorry, it sounds a little funny, they send you a map. Somebody in the office there must have known, because neither of them asked it to my knowledge, must have known that my parents and my in-laws are mechutanim. Must have known. Because the way they arranged it, my parents are here, and my in-laws, my father-in-law Zichron Levracha, my mother-in-law Shalita, are mamish back to back. One in one row, and then the 7 in the other row, they arranged mamish. Ooh. So for me, when I reached that ripe old age, and I had this remez, Vishnasa Yovel Azon, so Shiva Shalach was awesome. So to me, it was an open, but me and my wife, I asked them, but so good. So we took care of that issue. It's supposed to be a school of Arichas Yavin. We hope this thing remains empty for many, 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 many years, but done. You understand? So it's part of a marriage. It's part of, you know, he didn't do it before the chuppah. No one asked us to do it. But Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so this is back to the Rosh.
Well, I don't understand. How did that come up?
Don't ask me questions, I don't even understand. I'm just telling you what was told to me by a particular rabbi at a particular time. Sif Dalit. Masi Ode Kenegan Mizon Osea. The Fichach and Amma Ain Zona Tani Osa. Shomila. It's Rav Huna, right? We saw it taught in Tosis when Zion of Base. From Rav Huna and Chesim and Beis, the Cholish to Mabai, and Zona Tani Osa. Fine. I am the Kamon Simon Pei, which is on today's Maramakonks. Yesh Omrim. The Kodisha Homeris and Nizona Tvaniosa, Nizbatla Takona, Veni Chola Lachs of Bobalom, and Nizona Tvaniosa. Run! We saw this. Shkar Bashem, this is a typo, I think. Not Rama, I think it's Ra'ah. I think the Ra'ah is the one who said, if I remember from before Yantav, Lachs of Venus Hadin. That's the reason he gives. Viesh Cholkin. This means Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the Sivchav Gimel. It's not only, I think the Torah also disagrees with this Ra'ah. It's not just Rabbeinu Yeruchim, which is the same that most of us don't have. Period. Okay, that's number one, Machlokes. Number two point in the Rambam. V'chol she'eino nizonas, ein loksus, duhu b'chlal amazonas, shom b'horan. The Ran says that ksus is part of mazonas. She'er ksus levonos. So if you say you don't want, you're not going to give your masi a dime, it says tikkun masi a dime, tachas mazonas. That doesn't just mean only mazonas. It means mazonas uksusa, a both tachas masi a dime. So says the Right. Does anyone disagree? We'll have to see. Aval abal shama eini zoneich v'eini nota mas yodayich ein shalman lo. Because he can't do that because it's made for her benefit. She can say yes, she mitakonas hakamim, but he can't say because after all it's for her benefit that he should give her support. So therefore he can't say it. Aval yuchal omar si mas yodayich mzonosayich umash eino maspik ashlim loch. Haran. Now, this is I think we saw that Haran last time. This is, I believe, another typo. A lot of typos. Perek Hadar? Hadar is a Perek in Erevin. It's Perek Hamadir. What do you have in your Shulchan Aruch?
It's in Hamadir.
Baruch Hashem. It's in them. We saw it around last time. It's in Dafayim. It's the last Maimakom. It's this Maimakom. It was last time, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I'll see this time. This sif, that was a very, very important sif. Very important. Just one more sif. Sif, hey, im yomeres, im yosenes lachperos, lachperos, v'eini chafetza, shetifdeini im eshaveh, ein shaman lo. V'eshvusar ben ovek lachomim. That's one of the three reasons given, Rabosai. In Tosis over here, on that memzahimut base, look at the big Tosis zimnin, the very last line, what do we say? Shalot yitom ben ovek lachomim. That's the reason which Tosus gives, which Chava calls that reason. There are two other reasons which Tosus gives, which we spoke about before Yantar. V'chein b'yirushu kvura, ein echad me'em yochal omar, eini kover v'eini yoresh, ela kover v'yoresh. Again, Ran Perek Nara. That's the Ran we saw also. But the Gemara has an expression over here, kvurasa tachas ksubasa, according to Rov Rishonim, doesn't mean the ksuba itself, it means the Yerusha. Right, the Yerusha of presumably the Nechzei Tzom Barzal that I've written in the Ksuba, there is a day in Mishutim Kubetz that it means the Ksuba literally, in a whole Lamda Shavart that indicates that the Ksuba is an obligation which takes effect immediately upon marriage. And the Zman Piron is later on. I mentioned that to you, that Rav Zalman Lechemia Shalita, in that letter which he wrote, in the two pages that he sort of crossed out and sent me anyway, that he said that would be a refutation of his raya, that there's no problem of asmachta. I don't want to go into that right now, we spoke about it already before. Yeah, I just want to just refresh your memories. I'm constant, we both said we've covered just now in this sort of introduction of today's shiur. We just ran through the Gemara, Mem Zayin, and Mem Ches, and we ran through the last one, the Shulchan Aruch, Simon, Samach Tes, Aleph to Hei, we did not see the Beis Shmuel yet, that we'll see in a moment. And the Rans that we saw, I guess we should just take a quick peek at these rounds one more time. Just to refresh our memory. Not going to read them again, because we're going to see many more rounds in the next sheet. I want to have the rounds, the old rounds down pat before we start the new rounds. The round, as you know, in Ksuba, is a critical Rosh Hashanah round. It's a critical Rishonim in any Masechta, but certainly Masechta such as ours. So just going by the old Ma'amakomas, the first round was in page Yud Zayin or Mem Test, depending on which version you have. Just to refresh our memories briefly. Okay? So the discussion over here is whether, in fact, Mizonus is the Raisa. Okay? And he says as follows. He says, the Ranza say, Kevin the Kulu Tanoi, he says, Begumari, Ketanoi, this is a little Begumari. Ika Tanoi, the Sabi, Mizonus the Raisa, Shera. Okay? And Rabbi Lazar Yaakov says disagrees and shares Ksusa Vonasa. Okay? But Tukulu Tanoi Bigamara Svilu the Ksusa Kemashma Ksusa Daraisa. As he suggests. But since the Mishnah says Chayim Zonoseh Velo Hiske Ksus Klal, you get an impression that Ksus is part of Mizonos and therefore that's also Takas Masi Adeo. His Ksus is also Minatakana. That's exactly what happened over here. Why to go off?
Maybe just the E on the bottom.
That's what?
The E on the bottom.
E? That's exactly the rhyme we just saw. Right? Kol she'en nizonus en luxus u'b'chal mazonus sham b'haran. That's the rhyme we just saw. Okay? It's included. And therefore, he wants to say something even more than that. More than that. The Ksus on Minat HaKona. Because it says, Tikna Mazaras Tachas Mas Yadeh. And Ksus is not mentioned. In the Mishnah, it's included. It's all the Rabbanan. Finished. Even Ksus is Medivrayim. How would he do with the word Shera and Ksusa? So he quotes the famous Rabban HaChumash. Shera is Kiruv Basar. Onosu Kemashmo. And Ksusa, Shle Yashamash Mimitos Al Gabi Karka. Meet the mutzas, etc., proper bed with beddings. Okay, that's the Rambam of Pirushat Torah. The Rambam is the right. First round, just a chaza. We spoke about it already a few times. Next, another Ram, which is either page Chav Gimelim and Beis, or Samach Ches. Okay, just to review. Okay. Dikos Sovar, once again. Umashma Nami, those who have Samaches at the top of the second column. If you have the old print, it's called Gimel Amud Beis, I believe. Halfway between it says Gemara and the Ika, a little less than halfway. Okay. So he quotes over here, she can say, ain't, well, we'll get to Mol Kesef later on, not for now. Because of Ora Ozal, here we go. Finish for life. And then Exus as well. And then he says another important point. When he says she can say only the working in wool, as the Mishnah says, you have to work in wool and make 5 units per week, etc. That's one thing. Fine. This is what it says. Good. Rabosai. Good. You have to say Beferish and his own. Otherwise, it's not automatic. This is the second round. The third and final round, I'm just going quickly, it's found on page either Laman Aleph and the base or Tzadi Aleph. Just again, just discussing it briefly. What it says over here. The Omer, it's a few lines. In Hamashma, Tafilu le Rav Huna deba mezoni iker, we pass him. Yochol lo malokein, si mas, that was on the side. With the Safka, he can tell her, you can, listen, if you have enough, so pay your own bills. Over the lo Safka, nami yochol lo malo, shetikach mas yadeb with the main mezon aser, vishiyash na mashar. That's what we said, we just saw it, right? Run, Perek, what? Perek Hamadim, not Hadar. This is the Ram we're reading right now. We read this right before Yom Tov. We're doing a quick Chazara. Okay? Fine? That's what it says. Adkan Chazara. Any questions so far? Good. She is half over. Let's start the new things. The Beis Shmuel's, we didn't see it all. The Beis Shmuel's, even some test to my knowledge, I don't remember seeing them, and I asked to see all the Beis Shmuel's, because Beis Shmuel, for those who are by now getting a little bit familiar with Ebenezer, he's the number one Perish. I mean, the Chelkos Mechokek came first, but the Beis Shmuel even quotes many of the Chelkos Mechokek, so you have to pick one Perish. We usually pick the Shmuel. I got links. Shmuel. Let's just read a little together, okay, Rabosa? I think this is new. I don't remember seeing Beis Shmuel before Yom Tov. If I did see it, can't hurt to review it again. But this may actually be the first time we're seeing these things, to my knowledge. Rambam is filled with shloshim in the Torah. Rambam, Raran, filled the owner with Oraisa, who mazonos to susmid rabbonim. Tikkun Chazal, mas detachas mazonos to ksus. Shneim nichle bechlal, mashkos Chazal, tikkun rabbos mas yedeh detachas mazonos. Mishemochi kotz of Raran, kol shein nizonos. And the Ksus, we just saw it. We just read it around. The Rosh Va'amagid, This rush is not to be found. If you can find it, you get a prize. They say, how I got to have chutzpah, say thing. I know I know all the Russians to call it Torah. No, but I have the fancy Shulchan Aruch after that. The fancy Shulchan Aruch, it says, but Rosh V'Amagid says, on the side, see, where am I? Rosh Simon, Samach Tes. For Rosh V'Amagid, says on the side, whoops. To the contrary, this version thinks they found the rush. It's rush on the Yamaha Kapus. Paragul Gimel, Simon Va. But the other Shulchan Aruch, which I think is even perhaps even more Madrig, says, Lo Matsano Barosh Mefurish. Now you can, when you go to the Yamaha Kapus, what you got today, and go to Paragul Gimel, Simon Va, you will decide who's right. This edition, which is called the edition of Rosh Pina, or the Machon Yerushalayim. You tell me who you think is right. I thought Machon Yerushalayim was right, and that this is not klar on the Rosh Yudgimel Vav that exists is the Raisa. The Magen Mishnah, I'll show you that in a minute. But anyway, let's just go back to the Beis Shmuel for a second. Rosh Ramagit, Skrill, the Mazonas, the Rabbonim, the owner of Exusim, the Raisa. So let's take a look. So I don't believe that the Rosh is really true, but the Magen is true. Let's take a look and see the Magid. It's on today's Ma'am Makomus. You didn't see it yet, but you'll get to it later. We'll get a preview. Rambam. Let's go to Mishnah Torah. Because Ishus. Very good base. Very important fact. This is exactly what you saw. 10 and 4, these are the 10. I told you the Mechaber is taking it straight from the Rambam. So this is not going to read it again. But we have links. Magid Mishnah. That's what gets important. Okay. The Rambam holds us the right. The Rabban says it's Chumash is the Rabbanon. Vanita Meir B'dvarav Binam Al-Bushim. The Rambam, the Magid Mishnah is not asking Akash against the Rambam about Zonas. You want to say Mizonis is the Rabbanon, be my guest, even though it's against the Rambam. But Malbushin? The Bakulu Tanoi de Brais Hashem Tanakama Rabbeloza Blazam and Yaakov, 3. Afal Pisha Nechlub and Bazan. Kulan Shavin Shaksusu Kemashmo. The Malbushin Heimenatoro Canal. Vikane Eliko. Fishalomot Sosi Shuska Bixus Takonis Hachamim. Voce Kolatanoim and Iskarim Shavin was there. How do you like that? Just with the Ramban is very fancy. You're against everything, Ramban. That's the Magid Mishnah's tine against the Ramban. But therefore, Venerali, Shabazonis Hemi Devreye, Shalom, did he remember Rebrai, Shabazonis Hemi Natorah? Even though they're two against one, Mishabazonis Hemi Yaakov Kavanoki. And not only that, but the Brisa says, Tikna Mazonos, Tikna Mishnah's the Rabbonim. The Gemara says, Sugah Shabazonis Hemi Devreye. The Rashba is like the Rabbeinus with Kulam and Torah. So therefore, there are three opinions. All in Torah, Rabbam and Rashba. All in the Rabbanan, except for Ona Mamash and Abizrayu, if you will, which is the Ramban. And in between is the Magid Mishnah, that Mizonus is the Rabbanan. But Ksus, Ksus is a regular dress, a regular skirt. This is Midaraisa for sure. He doesn't know where the Ramban is getting from. Why is he saying it's a good aura? Why the Ramban go against everything here? Now, is he going against everything here? Maybe not. It's hard to know, but we have to try and answer the question of the Ramban Gamish against the Ramban. Ramban is a Gdolan. He must have had a reason to say what he said. So perhaps we'll discuss it not this minute. Okay, so this is what they quote in the Beis Shmuel. The Rosh and the Magid, the Rosh either exists or doesn't exist. The Pergum Gimel Simon Vav, you make your own decision, let me know tomorrow what you think. Machlok is two versions of Shulchan Aruch. And the Magid certainly exists. Back to Beis Shmuel. I go back here now? You know what I do? Press here? Get back, yes? Okay, fine. The Rosh and Magid Tzfilu, the Mizonos, the Rabbonim, the Ono Ksuzma, the Raisa, the Fizeh, Masnisa the Tana Chayiv Mizonos Lotana the Mashiv the Rabbanim Avachiv the Raisa Lotana. The reason why Ksus is not mentioned is not because it's part of Mizonos, because the Tana the Mount Nashiv the Raisas. The fees of Raisa the Tanya the Tikna Mizonos Tavas Masi Yadayim Hayne Mizonos Levad against Iran. Him Cain Him Omer Ein Mizonos Veini Osa Lo Mochlo Ksus. Against Iran. Well, the Chorah Kosher, the Eich Sos Samach, the Pasuk, Rav Ramot, B'Samach, Kol Shein and Nizonis, B'Chuli, Tlo'as, Yelo Lohar, K'Oran. Why did the Ramot go on a limb like the Ran? The Ran may be wrong. V'yesh Liyashim K'tas, fascinated by Shmuel. His time is against the Ramot. Why are you buying into the Ran completely? You know why he doesn't like it. Because he didn't like the whole... The whole thing is shver. The Rambani thinks that the Ram is a chiddush gadol. The Magad Mishnah thinks that it's against all the Tanoim in Shas Bavli. And why should the Ramah go out on the limb and pass it that way? In effect, by saying if there's no any zone, it's lose exus too. That's his taina. He doesn't like it. Okay, Ayin Siman Pei Im Yecholu Lafkias Atzam Mitzorchi Abayis Litchon V'Lofa. What does that mean?
There's three.
Yeah.
On Mizonos itself.
Yeah.
I mean, is Mizonos
Midrash or Midrabbanim? So Rov Poskim seem to say it's the Rabbanim, against the Rambam, the Magad Mishnah among them. So that doesn't bother the Mishnah.
That seems to be a much more clear statement. And why doesn't he ask the same question on Mizonos? Because Midrash is not waivable.
Well, waivable or not was a different story. That's a Suda Nafnun Vav, which we'll get to in Nafnun Vav. I don't want to get involved in that. But you can make a condition. We'll get to that. But just in a regular case, this is the Raisa Rabbanan, the Rambam and the Rashba hold the Raisa, and Rov Rishon holds the Rabbanan. But within that group that holds the Rabbanan, the Magad Mishnah insists that Ksus would be the Raisa, and the Rosh is supposedly is quoted as saying that as well. Whether he says it or not, I can't say for sure. Fine. I am a sin and pay, because there are three levels, Rabbos, it's important to know, again, a chazar from before Yantar. There are three kinds of malach that a woman does. Three different kinds. Which is chazar by looking in Shas Bavli to see, open the Gemara to see where these three kinds are found, and then we'll be able to figure out from what's found, what they are. So on Av Samach, on Av, Nun tes amid beis. Here it tells you, Eile malacha sheisha also the bala tochenes vi ofo mechabeses levasheles. She takes care of the house. She has to grind the wheat. She has to bake the bread. She has to do the laundry. She has to cook. Rabbi say, those are four major responsibilities, especially in the old days and not today's technology. It was not so simple. Not so simple. Then it says, Matzah Stormi, she has to make a bed. And the Osa B'Tzemeh, the income producing work that she had to do, this is her part of the family budget, was working in wool. That was considered the typical thing that a woman would do in the house, who would get to labor, Kukuda, Smalav Panima, not expected to work outside the home, etc. And how much wool, wool's the end of them herself, how much wool is she expected to produce or to process in a particular amount of time? That's something which is very important to know. So that's also something which is discussed in the Gemara. And we'll see, there's a certain specific amount that's expected of her. Fine. So that's, any of these owners, and he also certainly includes the idea of making wool. Not making any wool for you, sir. Aye, but she's supposed to contribute to the income? Yeah, okay. I won't make the wool, and I'll support myself. That's a deal which is possible to be made. Fine, good. But there are two other categories of work which the woman is expected to do. Number one is household chores. I use the word chores advisedly. Household chores. And number two is, we'll call them romantic responsibilities. The word chores would be inappropriate. Okay? Romantic responsibilities. But let's call malacha shel chibur. Alright? Let's take a look a little bit. We're not going to read the entire Tosfos. The Tosfos says over here, on that Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosfos Rav Huna, I'll read you all about the eighth line of Tosfos, just very briefly. Mizigas Akos, to mix his drinks. Yeah, it was a big deal, though. How he likes his drink, you know? He had to be the bartender. Yeah, the way to drink the way he likes it. Hatsas Hamita, make his bed the way he likes it. Harchotas Panav Yoda Viraglov. He has to wash his hands, his face, and his feet. Rabosai, I spoke about this in my shul over the last days of Yantav in some different contexts. The Torah's principles are timeless, eternal, immutable. But the details are subject to change. Any man, Samach Gimel and Aleph Rav Huna, any man who opens up the Gemara and the Tosfos and says to his wife, okay, honey, please wash my feet. Furush Gemara. He should have his head examined. It's a Gemara. Gemara. No, it's a Gemara. The world has changed. Sociology has changed. Technology has changed. Everything's changed. It's ridiculous. It's a Gemara. I demand my husband's rights. I'm a man of the house. Shugana. Mr. Rav Eliyashiv, that's the Rav Eliyashiv. The Rambam says, the context is as follows. Rabbi say, I'm going to make my pitch again. Chumash and Rashi. We just started in this passage with Shabbos Bereishis. It was very hard to do. Shnei Mikra, and even Echad Rashi, as opposed to Targum, he wanted to do it, he only had 2 days, a day and a half to do it officially. Because he couldn't do it until they finished the Torah at that Simchas Torah most of the time. And he was supposed to finish it on Shabbos officially. I was up after midnight on Friday night trying to get through. Just barely made it. I mean, after falling asleep a little bit over the Chumash and Rashi. But anyway, there Rashi says, on the words of V'chivshua, Shalom Teheyatz Onis. And if you look at the Art Scroll translation, it shouldn't be a gadabout. You can use, look at the dictionary what gadabout means. You see that sounds? Okay, fine. So the Rambam says, Rab, the whole... It's the Rambam. It's not some kind of Hasidic Rebbe or some of the Meir Shorim. The Rambam. The Rambam says, based on the Chazal, his understanding, that once a woman gets married, she's supposed to stay in the house. He writes there, I'll show you the Rambam, but not now. It's only mentioned as an example. That she shouldn't leave the house more than once a month. At most twice. The story goes, I can't vouch for his veracity, but some colonel that decided he's getting married, he didn't follow the Rambam. So after the Sheva Brachos, he tells his wife, very nice, we had nice Sheva Brachos, we're not every night to Sheva Brachos. Now, you have a month to leave the house next. So what, you've lost your mind? He pulls out a Rambam. Rambam.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's also, isn't he just saying it's like recommended?
Okay, recommends. She wants to do what her husband recommends, right? Anything we should eat, share also with some violence, also found in the Rambam, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch too. You may have seen that already once.
Know about working.
Now I can say, working. Now I can work from the home. Now, I cared. She's on a computer. Oh, don't leave the house for a month. The people I know, don't leave the house. They do all their work from the house now. So you really hold it from the house. You continue making your six-figure sum as a lawyer or something like that. You have to continue doing it, but don't leave the house. Good. So the way I like to phrase the story, she used a monthly pass to go to Rabbi Yashin. I said, what is that? I just got married. My husband sends me a Rambam. Rabbi Yashin says, call her right now on the phone. Don't come in this second. And they start screaming at him. What are you, crazy? Rambam, Rambam. You have to understand him. The halacha is the halacha, but the sociology changes, and then the details change, and the facts change. You have to have Rabbanu who are alive today to be able to apply these things. Don't you dare talk this. The ones who are married already know already. But if you're single, you get married, and the next night your wife's gonna wash your feet, basically, this Tysus. Forget about it. She'll call me up, but that monthly pass, I'll start screaming at you.
Well, she gets them once.
Not even once.
She's not allowed to if you want to?
She shouldn't want. Maybe I had some kind of a medical need. Maybe, I don't think my wife ever washed my feet, to my knowledge, in any other. I don't think it's not appropriate. It's ridiculous. It's a difference. What do you mean? Gemara! First of all, when you treat your wife the way it's supposed to, basically, Gemara, then she'll treat you. But even besides that, this, you have to know what things which are found in the Gemara. You can quote me as saying they no longer apply to mice. Am I off the curse? I don't think I'm off the curse. I'm just saying that things, expectations change. Fundamentally, a marriage is based upon expectations. That's what it really boils down to. That's the fifth Shulchan Aruch, you know what they say. Whatever we read inside in print. You have to know what's going on in the world. Rabbosai, it's such an important thing. Okay, back to Mishnah Berurah. So there are three different kinds of work. So one is the income-producing work, we'll call that. Two is the household chores. And three is the romantic responsibilities.
This is all part of the Mishnah, right?
On Nun
Testament
Beis. Nun Testament Beis. We never finished the Mishnah. Nun Testament Beis, what was it? We only read a little bit. First we read Tochenes Yom Mechabez Mashal, that's the chores. Matzazel Samita, that's the romantic responsibility. Osa B'tzemer, that's the income producing responsibility. This is exactly the three different types of responsibilities that the woman has in terms of Masi Adayim, and we have three different halachas, as we shall see. Okay, just Gimel. Ein yichol la'achzav l'omar. This is the sheet of the Ranaim of the Ra'om. Rabosa, look, it's very important. Hata mavua baran. She'eino b'din l'shanas b'chol pam she'tirtza. Ei she'timsa malocha tomar in nizonas v'ni osa. U'shalo timsa tomar ritzonim b'mizonas. And it's a lock submit as I did. Yesh Kolkin, that's how many Ruchim, the Kosov, came with the Kaimel and Mazoni Iker, Bidinu Shatir Yoda Al Yona. Hey, she has the upper hand in both cases. So Yesh Kolk Kotzubachol Shavua, Kama Hi Osa, is a specific amount which is given. How much she has to do each and every week. I told you this lesson before Yonta briefly, we'll come back to maybe today if we have a chance, that there's a specific quota that she has to produce per week. Again, it doesn't go by the day, it goes by the week. And that's the amount that she has to produce. That's over here, Abosai. Where is it? Samach Dalal and Beis. It's the Marama comments for today. Mishnah Samach Dalal and Beis. Please turn. Samach Dalal and Beis. End of the Mishnah. Umahi osa, how much? May osalo, mishkel chamesh sloim shesi bihuda, shen eses sloim begolim. Whatever, a whole discussion of what she has to do. This is the amount that she's required to produce when she's working on the wool. Okay? And that's what it says. And this, by the way, is something which is... A particular amount which is, it has to be given each week, and quid pro quo, he is required to give her each and every week. That's the, again, the top pair of the mission we saw this right before Yantav also. If he gives her money, how much? Two kabim chitin, for how often? So Rashi says, b'Shabbos. Not less, not per week. So it's done in a weekly increment, in weekly segments, are both sides. Her amount that she has to produce in week, his amount that he has to forgive her, if you will, in food, it's by the week. Watch this. So what do you say? So therefore, B'shemachia brer biyod alama, b'shavu azu, ani es aliatzmi, this week I will work for myself, you don't have to support me. If I try it another week later, yeah, according to the Rabbeinu Yochum, she can do that. Nitzah de Laran, Eni Chol Loma, Tzvan Kosov, Ani Yesel Le'atzvi, Rabbi Yechun Yechun Yechol Loma, Kein. The Choro, here's the big Kiddush. Kiddush Nifla V'Noro, the Beis Shmuel, which may not be correct. It says L'Choro. Kiddush Noro. Nira de Pluk Nezu Taya, be Pluk Nezu Ksus, Kam Kein Tachas Mas Yadayim, which you just saw a few minutes ago. V'Oran, the Ran is the one who said what he said, Ozo L'Shitoso, the Sfile de Ksus Gam Kein Tachas Mas Yodeo, Mishamachi Sfile, the Eini Yechol Lomar, Vishavu Azu Eini Nizonis, or Vishavu Acheres Nizonis. Can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because it has to be a quid pro quo by week. Come on, man. A woman buys a new dress every week? Ah. I mean, today maybe things are different too, but nowadays for sure, she didn't buy a new dress every week. So you cannot, how should we say it, amortize it over a period of time. And since it's not week per week, quid pro quo, you can't do it. A fascinating idea of the Beis Shmuel at the Radas L'Shitoso. It's a Chiddush Gadol and impossible to see it. They think it's wrong, but it's a murder, a Chiddush. It's a fascinating idea. Again, one more time. The Radas L'Shitoso, Ksus is Tach L'Mas Yadeo. You can't say the Shavuos do anything else. How can I fit the clothing? Rabbi Yeruchim Sfirlik, she does a rush. The Ein Ksus Beklal Mizonos. What's that rush? What rush? Where rush? Who rush? He probably means the rush they quoted earlier, top line here, Mizonos Derabon and Ksus Doraisa. So they're two separate things. Although we saw the rush, maybe never said that. This maybe he did say, we'll see later on. What does it say over here? Open up your Pantheon Shulchan Aruch. The Shmuel is quoted over here in Simon Samach Tess of Cotton Gimel. What do the Pantheon Shulchan Aruch say? When they tell you they give the Mamma Comas, it's going to the Rosh. Take a look. A Rosh. Let's see. Hamuva b'sif cotton aleph. The same one, which my Shulam said doesn't exist. And this says it's Perigud Gimel, Sivva. Maybe we'll have to take a quick, we have a few minutes, we'll look at it soon. But let's first just finish this paragraph, please. The Rosh, and the Rosh was Rabbi Yeruchim's Rebbe, so it fits in nicely. The Ein Ksus Bichlal Mazonos. The Ksus Bichlal Mazonos and Cain, Takonas Chazal, Hoyakoyim, Kol Mas Yodeo, Shal Koyim Echayeo, Takas Mazonos Ksus. Why? The Ksus Udom Hashanim is Chalik. What's that? Is it a typo? Al Pi Shavua? What's that? What do you have in your version? Yaakov, what do you have in your version? Ein Kof. Al-Koch, I thought maybe it's a typo. What's Al-Koch? I thought maybe it should be Al-Pishav, or what my thing is. Oh. Al-Kol Shavua, he says. He spells it out. Usually Ein Kof means Al-Koch, or right, Ad-Kan. Al-Kol Shavua. Wow, what a Rosh Tavis. Okay, good. I'll call Shavua. It's not divided by per week. BMK, Eich Yesh Loma, Zman Kotzav, Ani Esav, Ani Atzim, Zman Ache, Toma, Ani Osav, Echav, Eich Tassim, Ksus, we do the Ksus. You can't figure out a way to amortize it. What are you going to do with it? Ukein Zeh, I think this is what we saw before Yadav. Because remember this Rosh Tavis? Masina Betosis. No one asked that question last time? Who remembers? Come on, Pei Nun Shin. That's a dream we had. We went through the same thing exercise last before you. Perek Narashin Espatza. Punch. Oh man. The Takonis Mamzayim Beis. The Katchonis Chazal Haya Peres Shokoya Meo Tachas Perkona. From Meres Pamachas Any Niftes Any Nelson Es Peres Sueni Cholulama Any Niftes Vetena Peres. Uvitosus Memvov. Let's take a look. Where's the quote over here? Tosus Memvov. Nah, Memzayin, of course. It's a typo. Zimnin. That's a Tosus Zimnin. V'arosh, Perek Dalet Siman Yud, this is over here, Mashmid Esvir Lehu, Kirabenu, Yeruchim. Shekostu, Im Amr, Eni Zonis V'Eniyo, Hayom V'Eniyosa, L'machar, He also Vinizonis. Let's take a look at Tosis, and then we'll take a look at the Rosh. Okay, I follow the Beis Shmuel's instructions. Tosis Mem Zayin and Beis. We saw this Tosis on both sides before Yantam. See it again now. It's about 7 lines from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Shem Amra Hayom Eni Nizonis Eni Osa L'Machar Tasim Retain Nizonis. You can do it. You can't do it when it comes to Pidyon and Peiros because it's. As he just said, Peshach Koyameh, Tachas Berkona, Mamash, when we discuss this. Okay? So it works out very, this is a very, very fascinating Lishitaso that the Rabbi Shmuel has explained to us. Very beautiful Lishitaso. Is it going to work down the road? Perhaps not. Perhaps not. So we should let's take a look in the Rosh for a minute. We just have to look in the Rosh, Perek Dalet, Siman Yud. We're going to say the same thing as Tosis. Okay, let's take a look. See, Rabbi Shmuel tells us to look. We should at least look for a second. Just for a second. For those on my edition, it's page Chaf Hei. Those of the old edition, it's towards the very end of Siman Yud. It's exactly the same as Tosis. It says, Amr Ein Nizonis Ven Hayom Ven Yosel Lemachar Lemachim. Moi says Yom, then he also Lamachar in his own we also can change from today till tomorrow. Now, is that really true today and tomorrow? It should be 1 week to the next, not 1 day to the next. That's another question. Why are we going by days? We should really be going by weeks, as opposed to Pidyon. Now I'm going to turn to Perek Yud Gimel Siman Vav just briefly. You tell me if you think that the Rosh should beferish what the Beis Shmuel said. He said that Mazonis is the Rabbanon and Tzus is the Raisa. Now, Rabosai, Perek Yud Gimel Siman Vav, I believe it's on the Mara Makomos. It is. I'm going to do the last part first. Uma Shekosav Shebechayim Nizonos Min HaTorah Holesa. That which the Rambam said. Why? The Kol HaMoroi Savri the mizonos ha'isha derabbanon, al the pligi mizon yigar takana v'tikna ma'aseh tachas mizonos or ma'aseh da'ikah tikna mizonos ma'aseh da. And therefore, Rabosai is saying that mizonos is derabbanon. That's very nice. Where does he say that ksus is derais? So, presumably, the Beis Shmuel was assuming, well, no one says ksus is derabbanon except for that wacko Ramban. So he must hold that way. I don't know. It's not beferish. I mean, he called the Ramban wacko because it's against all the Tanaim in the Sukkah. The Ramban was a Godel Hador. So you can't say beferish that the Rosh said that way. That's why I think that both Shulchan Aruch are right up to a point. Shulchan Aruch is here is right to show us Yud Gimel Vav as a source that is on the Rabbanon. But that he holds that Ksus is the Raisa doesn't say it over here. It doesn't say it anywhere. It's an assumption that he wouldn't go against all the Tanaim. And he wouldn't accept the Chiddush of the Ramban. That's one of the show. Okay, everyone with me so far? Good. Rabosai, now, I just want, if you could finish this now, it'd be very nice. And then we'll try to add a little bit more. Abu Yochel Omar, Hanu Bal Karcha. Very important. Kemosh Yomeres Eni Nizonis against his will, he can say to her against her will, listen, I'm not going to feed you. You go to work, and whatever you're missing, I'll pay the rest. The fees of Mashikos of Simon Ayin Siftes Baal Sheomad Kli Mas Yadagam Zonosayach Veshoska Mashad Yecholo Limchos. I read the case Veshalom Aspiklos. Not enough for her. She has enough that he can give her the money, and then she can tell this, and you keep the money, and then you feed yourself. Because of the Chalkos Mechalkos Sham. Avalomash v'kein b'Rambam Perek Yud Beis v'atur shom. Kosvu is on the Maram Akomus. She'ilu lo rotzisai hoyalo l'tovo. Avalomay mas yadai maspikli. Mashma. Mashkat hoyalo l'tovo. Haino afilu im maspikla. Even if, Rabosai, the amount, the money she makes enough to make a living and to eat, to feed herself, she can demand that the husband give her potato chips and give her bread and give her her soda, whatever she wants, a fish. So once again, there's a big machlokas, the Ran, the Shulchan Aruch passed like the Ran, but he has a whole pack of gedolim, of rishonim, who disagree and say, no, you have to give me the food. Don't just give me money. I want food. This is, of course, part of the general topic we'll be discussing. We already before a little more now. If the other, what is the nature of his obligation to support her? Is it a purely financial obligation, or is it a marital obligation? Sure, that's just a matter of dollars and cents. That should be a critical component in analyzing this question. This question. Okay, about sign? This is already stuff which we didn't get to. So we finished the Shulchan Aruch with all the Beit Shmuel's. Baruch Hashem. Now I want to just tell you a few minutes of things I wanted to tell you which are not found in the Shulchan Aruch or the Beit Shmuel, that I wanted to share with you. B'siyata d'shmaya. The question is as follows. I have over here, I mentioned before you answer also, a Maimon Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg Shlita. He suggests that which the Beis Shmuel says can't possibly be true. It can't be true. And before I even open this piece, I'll quote you an earlier source, earlier for our purpose, called the Otzer HaPoskim. The Otzer HaPoskim is a very beautiful Likut. It starts with Siman Aleph, goes till Siman Ayin Zayin, and went into a many, many year hiatus. I think there can be a decade or decades long hiatus. They're now trying to revitalize it, starting with Siman Kuf Chav Tet. Terrible for us, we're learning Hilchos Ksuvos, and they skipped 50 Siman. Exactly what we're supposed to be learning. I feel bad, but I can't provide you with, I don't have, I can protect you, can maybe I'm sure it's typed up somewhere, there's a chance to edit and print it. It's an invaluable resource. So I'm just gonna read you over here in Siman Samach Tes. As follows. He calls the Beis Shmuel, Ran is l'shitaso. And if the question becomes, he has a kasha. Eich sasam uposuk ramah to call she'en nizonis ein luxus lo as ye'el l'haran. That's the reason of it. He doesn't understand. Lo as ye'el l'haran. V'yesh yashik tas. Now, what does that mean? He calls over here as follows. The Ramah is certainly correct. Ramah is right. Oh, if the Ramah is right, so what do you do? What do you do with the kasha of the Beit Shmuel? In other words, if the Ramah is right, that in corner of the Ram, if there's no mezonos, there's no ksus. Ksus is included in the category of mezonos. Then how can it be, Rabosai, how can it be that there's a possibility that you can back out? Because in the previous line he said, Yesh Omrim, to call Isha Omeris, Eni Zonis, Eni Yosef, the Spat Latakon. It's only a Yesh Omrim. But others say that you can back out. The Yesh Cholkim, if I'm the Ramah. How can it be? If you can back out, how are you going to figure out Ksus? This is not going to work it out. So Bzal Nechem has a piece about it. He says, you'll figure out a way to work it out. You'll take a calculator, and you'll just figure it out. You'll figure out how to deal with the clothing. It cannot be an insuperable problem. This doesn't work. It has to be a way how to work it out. How you'll do it, you'll figure out how many weeks of the year she was getting paid. And based on that percentage, that's how they're going to know how much she's entitled to from the perspective of the ksus. Something along those lines. And it has to be that way. And you figure it out based upon on the weeks, right? It's per week. As a matter of fact, Zam Nachem is not happy when the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Ayin, also the Ma'amar Kamos, we'll get to it later, starts telling how much money I have to give per day. He doesn't, he's upset. What kind of per day? It should be per week. Just letting you know. So here in this Ma'amar,
it also doesn't account for the changing lifestyles and circumstances. It's okay to have a marriage.
True too.
Become wealthy because
in the middle
of up.
No, you better believe it. Oh, big time, big time, big time. Much more than food, big time. How can you fool by the day? I mentioned this before Yantif. Shabbos and Yantif eat much more than every day. We just came out of that. We all have to, you know, whether you fast Bahab or not. But in principle, we have to all try to lose some weight after some of your Yom Tov. And during, as I told you, Friday is supposed to eat less. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be hungry when you come into Shabbos. I mean, you can't come by. You have to come by the week. Things average out. That's what Zalman Lechem is kash. In any event, Rabbosai, so the question whether Malbushim are included in Mizonos or not, I asked you to see a Maram Malkum. I didn't get to it yet, but I already showed it to you right now just to end with this because we have no time. We only have about a few minutes. In Shulchan Aruch, where's Shulchan Aruch? I asked you to see something very interesting, which I don't know if you should get to yet. Kuf Yud Dalet. Something very interesting. Look at this. Kol ha-mechayim atzem midat lozun shalom mitznai bezin. Eino chayev malbush elam kein pirish, ezon va'afarnes. If you say ezon, it only means food. Afarnes means support, including clothes. So chor, you see from here, Abosai, that the mechaber is paskening that ksus is not included in the words in Takanas Mizonos. We saw before that the Rambo said, if you say any Mizonos, you're not being given Mizonos, you don't have Ksus either. Is it against Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch is over here that the word Azon does not include clothes. So the Nach, the Nachashiv asks this question, is the following answer. This is a flaw actually gives this answer. It's found in the footnote in the Otzer Apostle. Footnote, those want to look it up later on. Footnote, Ayin Dalet. As it's found. It's part of Takonas Chachamim. Shemeres ain't his own, and he also memela potogamic sus. Aye, but what do you do with this dinner Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, I don't know how, what links they have, something amazing. They have it. The most basic link they don't have, it's called the Be'er Agola. Not here, right? The Be'er Agola is the first person who wrote the sources for Ebbe Shulchan. He was an ancestor of the Groh. And he wrote, whenever the Shulchan Aruch said something, hear where it came from. So he very rarely says more than just one word. It comes from here. Look what he says over here. Kuf Yud Dalet, Sif Yud Bey, I read it from the Be'er Agola. Watch this. The Be'er Agola says, on this din, that's false. Kevin shall eat them, ainam call them also bechalam azonos. The old, she ainam bechalam azonos, beloshes b'nei Adam. Aha! In Takonas Chazal, Rabosai is implying Mizok Sus Bechlam Mizonas. The Ran is right, the Ramo is right, but not Elosh Bleyona. Here he's accepting upon himself his own responsibility. Zeu Shenogu Achshav Lichto Bixubus, the Azon Vafarnes. Not a redundancy. The first law in the Ksuba, the man has accepts full responsibilities. Ano Eflach, I'll work, we'll discuss that later on, Tosin Samba Gimel. Okay? But over here, I will cherish. That is difficult to pinpoint. How do you, what do you mean to cherish? How do you quantify that? How do you legalize that? I hope everyone who gets married will know how to cherish his wife. It's the most important of all the obligation. But the next two words are Azon Va'afarnes. You don't just say Azon, because Azon could be understood to mean just food and not clothes. No one's going to be happy with that. So Afarnes, which is written in Yuxuba, means take care of all of it. Whenever I tell my Talmidim, I tell them feed, and I use the word support, the Parnosa. I don't go into details that she means clothes. Once they get married, they see the credit cards, they'll understand very well what they have in mind.
It has a different emphasis. Azon is I will give you Zonas.
Right.
Zona sub is her Zonas.
Okay, whatever it may be. But we'll discuss that also. How much is the Mizon? Must he support her at his level or her level? That's the famous one of Menches, Ol Imo, many Redisimo, the higher of the two standards of living. But there were details. That's on the Mara Makomas. Today was more of a review and an introduction. Tomorrow we'll get down to some of the nitty-gritty based on the new Mara Makomas sheep of Shema.